50,000 simultaneous users and more than 800,000 daily visitors.
All right, that's the voice of Kathleen Sebelius, and she's on the Hill earlier in the day talking about the bright side, the upside of healthcare.gov. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. How you feeling about healthcare in this country? Sebelius is ordering also a review of the website to go back in history and figure out what it was that went so wrong, and heading off all the nonsense at the pass for her, because she's the head of the Health and Human Services Department. She knew she was appearing before the subcommittee, knew she was going to get grilled, right? And knew it was going to be about the botched website and the rollout and what happened and how could that happen back on October 1st. So, to head that off, as I said, what she did was decided it's time to have an investigation. So the Inspector General of the Department of Health and Human Services is going to review what happened, because she says that, and she said this in a blog post too, that before she was on the Hill, that it was flawed and unacceptable, and that she believes in accountability, and that the importance of being a good steward of taxpayers' money. I'm just going to ask you this. Is being a good steward of taxpayers' money, spending an additional amount of money to make the website right? And we're not talking about a little bit of money. We're talking about that for healthcare.gov, they were pitched, they hired the contractors for $677 million. They've actually paid $319 million of that so far. But part of that money is a jump up in what they had to pay, plus $47 million on top of that. You know, I've gotten better at numbers, and the numbers are brutal. So it's really increased just over $47 million. It's all jargon, Washington nonsense, and a typical Potomac two-step. So it's already an increase, we know, in the amount that was obligated. That's what it is. But it's a price hike, whatever. It's taxpayer money. But we knew this was coming, right? So CMS, they're saying that the total that was obligated for the IT costs associated with the in the federal marketplace was in the neighborhood of $630 million. Now they're saying $677 million. And then we're hearing that there even are more on top of that. I think they're just trying to mix it all over the place. That's what you do to confuse somebody. You mix the numbers up. Regardless, it's more money we're paying. So baloney on we're trying to help the taxpayer. We're trying to be accountable because we are stewards of the money. Oh, she should have never said that. How about we messed up, yes, and we're looking into it so I can give you specific answers when you keep asking me the same questions about how did this get rolled out this way. Just cut to the chase, less is more, and just say it that way. It's simple. It's communicating in a much more honest way. Let's go to RC in Illinois. Hey, RC.
Hello, my dear Kate. How are you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm fine. I just say, what if they made me king? I would have three giant arms walk in. Not even let the lady stand up, pick her up in the chair, take her out and put her in the calaboose. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. My understanding was I heard somewhere that major corporation, I think it was IBM, offered to put this together for free.
Yep, you're correct. Because of course, if they could fix the bugs and they could, then they would get the publicity, so that would be their pay. They did offer to do it for free, yes.
Okay. Who made the decision not to allow them to go ahead and do this?
Right, they contracted with the same company, so they're having them fix it, having other people oversee it, and they're saying that, that they're paying, because that's what they do. They're not going to take anything for free. They're going to contract it out, and that's what they did for the additional money, which is ridiculous, because that's what we do. We bleed money.
Well, I'm DOA now. God, Jesus Christ. This is a semi-half Canadian corporation.
Yes.
Love the Canucks, but Jesus criminy, we couldn't get this done here and somebody's offering to pay this for free?
I know. Now, it doesn't make any sense. RC, you know why it doesn't make any sense? Because just what you said right there. Listen, I know people in the computer business that I think are brilliant. I have no idea what they're talking about when they talk to me, so I know they're brilliant. And we're talking about people in Silicon Valley that just coded for a living, that know all of this. And yes, they could. Why not contract with an American then, an American group? Because this group had problems before. Doesn't matter. Okay, if they were Canadian group and they were amazing and didn't have a lot of flaws, but they had flaws anyway heading into it. The Canadian government was complaining. So what do? We go... Yeah, they have a history, a bad history. It's ridiculous. There's no, you know, when you go somewhere, like somebody says, "Hey, RC, you want to lower your insurance rates for your car? I got a buddy." And then you ask some people, you get testimonials. They don't do that in Washington, where you actually ask people, "Are they any good?"
Got all these brilliant people supposedly running our departments and fight. That's why, like I said, I wouldn't even let her stand up. Just pick up her chair, drag her out. exit stage left, end of story.
I love that. Yeah, she's in charge. If it was me in charge and I messed up, especially in this grand of a scale, I don't care what her education is. I don't care who she's in touch with. It doesn't matter.
If she's the janitor and she's in charge.
I don't care.
It doesn't matter. She's the lady or the person in charge of this whole deal, and now she's going to investigate. Why don't she invest? That's why, like I said, let's just send some people in there, pick her up and take her out, and okay. Talk about fraud, talk about deceit, talk about perjury, maybe. I don't know. This is all of these other incidents with, in this administrative venue, in other words, from security systems to ambassadors getting killed, and this transparency, I'm sorry, they talked about initially, it's just utter, BS.
It is. That's the problem. You cannot label yourself, and beware of the people who do, thanks, RC, who say, we're going to be the most transparent administration in the history of Washington, because they were really attacking the Bush people. We're going to tell you everything that's going on, and it's been anything but that. I mean, listen, even if you're a Democrat, you cannot think that this stuff flies. It does not fly. Absolutely not. We are. We'll be back in a few.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, and many of you have heard the best-selling lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. I want to let you know that Dr. Wallach will be in Minnesota July 16th giving a free health seminar. Discover how over 900 diseases like diabetes, obesity, and cancer can be avoided and reversed just by getting a mineral-rich diet. You heard me right. There has been groundbreaking research in nutrition. And if you're tired of prescription side effects leading to more drugs causing even more side effects, come to the free seminar at Apple Valley Community Center, 14603 Hayes Road, July 16th at 6 o'clock p.m. Seating is limited, so come early. Discover how you can take charge of your own health. Come to the free seminar at Apple Valley Community Center, 14603 Hayes Road, July 16th at 6 o'clock p.m. That's Apple Valley Community Center, 14603 Hayes Road, July 16th, 6 o'clock p.m. Or call 866-860-2086 for directions and times. That's 866-860-2086. Again, that's 866-860-2086.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Yesterday, I got a notice from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money, but the notice said if I don't pay it in 30 days, they're going to go into my bank account and take my money, put a lien on my house, and garnish my wages. Can they really do that?
If you owe back taxes, unless you get help, the IRS can do all that and more. Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Their Fresh Start program that will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS or state have in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. You get a fresh start if you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes. They're so sure they can help you that they'll give you a 20% discount just for calling right now. Dial 877-328-6404. That's 877-328-6404. Again, 877-328-6404.
America tonight in our virtual green room, Dr. Mihai Nadine. And Dr. Nadine actually has really an interesting, what I would call, thought-provoking book, I guess is the best way to describe it. I love the title, Are You Stupid? And in the book, Are You Stupid?, he talks about a whole bunch of things. We're going to let him flesh it out with us, of course. But he actually shouts some praises to really some of the core or the best American values, but then talks about how we damage the society by being blind to some of the choices that we make. And we talk about them all the time here on America Tonight. The big federal government. You know, I always say, since I started America Tonight, I'm a Tom Jefferson kind of person. Let's keep it smaller. Make it significant, the federal government, but not as big as it is. And then, of course, printing money, the quantitative easing, to me, is like monopoly money. It's ridiculous. So what a perfect guest for America Tonight. Doctor, thanks. Dr. Nadine, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
So talk about, first of all, what pushed you, you're a professor at UTD in Dallas, Texas, and what pushed you to writing this book?
This is probably the most important question when it comes to my book, because everybody who knows me and is aware of my research in the sciences asked me, how in the world did you stop part of what you do in order to deal with an issue that is a little outside your knowledge domain? And the answer is very simple. This country adopted me some years ago, and it adopted me in a manner in which I feel no less American than anyone else living here, regardless of maybe my accent or regardless of the fact that every now and then I would probably use one of the words from the countries where I used to live. So having said that, this is the major factor that the country adopted me, and I have a real deep sense of debt towards this country. I took note of the fact that the country is now, my country is now on a path that makes me worry. And since I'm not the only one who is worried, I meet not only my students or colleagues, I meet all kinds of people who are sometimes looking at me and saying, what is happening with the United States? I thought, let me sit down and work on it. So after 6 years of working on this book, I finally dared to come with a title that is a little bit in your face, as they say here, asking people, why do you act in a manner that in the long run is going to hurt us all? So that's the story behind it.
So you say in the book that we are, you know, we're like ostriches basically burying our head in the sand. And if we ignore these warning signs, you're pretty pointed about it. You say the U.S. will end up like the USSR. How so?
The major chapter in the book is the parallel between the United States and the Soviet Union. It is even the largest part of the book. And I go systematically through the parallel between what happened in the Soviet Union, which eventually imploded, and what is happening in our days in our country. And you started in your introduction, and you referred, just to give an example that has something to do with what you just heard from me, you referred to the government that is increasing and increasing and increasing. Keep in mind that in the last 10 years, our government doubled. We have at this moment over 21 million people working for government. That is something that I only experienced living under a socialist regime. And it was scary because you realize that everybody was employed since they were not producing anymore. They were no longer productive. But they were employed so that we could report at that time full employment. It was fake work, as it is for quite a number of the people who are involved in government work in our days.
Yeah, and you see, and you know, having come from where you came, and we'll see it, for example, in you talk about the government, and you talk about getting so far away from the founding fathers and diving into this, as you said, 6 years to put it together. How far are we from the beginnings? In other words, the beginnings of the U.S., those meetings in Philadelphia, ultimately Washington, D.C., becomes the cradle of liberty, and you go from the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution to where we are now. How far away are we from those beginnings?
We are tremendously far away, because if your listeners will recall what they eventually study when they study the history of this country, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, at no moment in time spoke about Americans becoming dependent on the government to the extent that they are becoming now dependent on the government. On the contrary, at that time, the major vision of this country was exactly independence from the government, the possibility to define your own path, the possibility to define your own goal, the possibility to enjoy opportunity. This is less and less the case. People are upset with the government, but unfortunately quite a large number of those who are upset with the government are the first to run to the government and become dependent on the government. This was never the thought that the founders expressed, or that was never one of their intentions.
Doc, what do you think the solution is? You know, you teach this, live this, breathe this. You wanted it. You came to the United States for that reason. What's the solution to not letting us head towards socialism?
If I would have one solution, I would go tomorrow out in the marketplace and become the richest person on the globe. If I would have, you know, that wish that every American has. You know, I'm eating too much, give me a pill. I am doing this or that too much, give me one button to press and things will solve. I'm talking about two different decisions that Americans would have to make. One is the decision to no longer take America for granted and no longer accept the condition of passivity. One has to start caring for the United States. If we don't care, nothing good will happen to ourselves in the first place. The other solution that I develop in the country is a call to a second constitutional convention. But just to make it clear, there are some other people who are talking about a convention. Mm-hmm. And I'm very happy that, you know, finally people start moving in this direction. I am not talking about the convention of the parties, no matter whether they are Democratic or the Republican. I am talking about a convention, really, really, a convention of the people. A convention of the people, why? Because, again, if you listeners will remember, and I'm sure you do remember, the framers never talked about party. They were very suspicious of party. We are now in the hands of parties who have their own agenda. When they are fighting it, they do their political fight. They are fighting it not for us, but for the interest of the party. When I hear that this group voted along party lines, I say, party lines? That's impossible. Makes no sense. Aren't we the one who voted you to the office? You have to vote along the lines and along the convictions of your constituents. And this is not happening at this moment. So I'm talking about the possibility of a constitutional convention in which every representative of who we are could be there present, and in which the debate would be as public and transparent as the new technologies allow us to have them.
Yeah, boy, that would be possible. That's for certain. I love the title. Great book. Are You Stupid? Pick it up. Doctor, thanks so much. Dr. Nadine, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you, and thank you also to the listeners for having spent with me, you know, the minutes during which you and I had our little dialogue.
Thank you. End of time.
I wanna use computers and machines.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is going to get worse. Much worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. And if you owe the IRS back payroll taxes, chances are you will be visited at your home or business by an IRS agent. Don't become paralyzed by fear. Take action now. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help. Our team of experienced tax attorneys can get you protected. Stop collections and negotiate a permanent settlement with the IRS and state, potentially saving you thousands of dollars. At U.S. Tax Shield, our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. No games and no tricky upsells. That's why we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Put an end to your torment. Get protected. Get the Shield. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-211-9458. That's 800-211-9458. 800-211-9458.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338. 888-213-4338 and talk to the patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
Unfortunately, the one-year anniversary of the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, and of course we know the whole story there, 26 people killed in all, 20 first graders, six teachers, educators, if you will, and what a year it's been, and we've talked to many people surrounding what happened in Newtown and how rough it was, really, in the beginning and even now at this point, and especially you think it happened right before the holidays, and here we go again. We're almost into holidays one more time. In the wings, pleased to welcome to America Tonight Richard Hardwood. He's the founder and president of the Hardwood Institute for Public Innovation, and he's an expert in helping communities like Newtown to deal with incredibly difficult changes. And Richard actually helped a 28-person task force there really try to grapple, and I guess that's an interesting word to use because that's what it's like, with this kind of issue. So for several weeks this past spring, Richard was there, listened as parents of Sandy Hook, first graders, business people, etc., stepped forward to talk about concerns and the school site, remember the tearing down the school site and all that kind of stuff. Richard, thanks for coming on the show.
You bet. It's good to be with you.
So when you first got the call and this all happened, I mean, obviously this, you are the expert, as I said, in doing this. What's the first thing that you think of? I mean, it was just so shocking when we all saw that. What do you do, in other words, when you're heading down into this situation, knowing that there are people just hanging on by a thread, in a sense, emotionally? What are the kinds of things that you're telling them, or you know you're going to tell them, when as you're heading down to Connecticut?
Well, you know, the first thing is, you know, for someone in my role, which was to help design and lead the, as you mentioned, the 28-person task force, is to give people a sense of security that, and a sense of safety that we can actually work through an issue that, as you know, and your listeners know, is gut-wrenching, is, it's a horrific situation, it's really inexplicable, and it's really to give people a sense that, you know, as hard as this is going to be, I'm gonna create a process by which we can try to move through this and try to make a decision and deal with the emotional content that's really here. And that first and foremost was my primary responsibility as I headed to Connecticut thinking about how we might do this.
So you're there and you're there for a while, and is it a process where you try to, as you're piecing things together, are people sharing? Is it good in these kind of, unbelievably traumatic situations to share, to, for lack of a better way to describe it, get it out?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, there was a lot of trepidation, as you can imagine, when we began this conversation. And you know, look, there was a debate in the community about whether or not we should have even been having this conversation at this time. There were any number of people in the community who felt we should wait a year or so before actually trying to figure out what to do. So initially there was trepidation as we got into the process and we started talking about this, and we, you know, for some people, I think this looked like it was going to be a discussion about a school building. But, you know, as we got into it even more, I think people started to realize that this was much more than about a school building. It was really about whether or not the community was ready, willing, and able to pivot in a sense from a sense of trauma and despair to healing and hope. And so as the conversation evolved during this process, there was a point at which it looked like it might break down, which I can tell you about. And at that point, it became much more emotional, much more gut-wrenching, much more of a sense of, are we really ready to engage with this issue, and are we really ready to have the conversation that we really need to have here? And at that point in the process, it became very difficult.
Yeah, so when you got deeper into it, because then you're actually, it's got to be a weird feeling, because in one way, probably some people feel like it would be a monument or a memorial, perhaps, to
right.
What happened there, and others think, ugh, that's a reminder that we should really move forward and we should tear it down and rebuild. Is that kind of what it comes down to?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think what it really came down to, Kate, is that we had announced, really, at the fourth meeting we were going to make a decision. The Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, all sorts of news outlets had reported on it. And so there were hundreds of people at the meeting. But right before the meeting, we had met in our only closed-door session that we had at all with a group of teachers who really had been traumatized by this event and who recounted all of their experiences to the task force members. And when we came out of that back into the public session, it was clear that the task force was in no condition to make a decision that night, and I announced that we wouldn't. And I think at that point, when we came back into the fifth meeting, I think what people really had to come to grips with was there is no perfect solution to an imperfect, horrific situation, that the only perfect solution would be to turn back the clock to December 13th of the previous year, and that they had to come to grips with not simply about the school building, but as a community, that they would try to move forward as best that they could. And that was actually a phrase that people kept saying in that fifth meeting, that we've come to the recognition or the realization that this is our reality, and that at this point we need to try to simply make the best decision that we can and try to move forward.
Yeah, and then in once that's decided, and then you have to climb over that wall, and once all of that happened, and as you said, it popped all over the news, and everybody was debating, was this the right thing to do, and, you know, maybe you should keep it, or then maybe you should tear it down. But once that happened, and you got through that fifth meeting and whatnot, then did it seem like with the task force that you had assembled that, boom, okay, we're all on board, so whatever the outside world says, we're doing this?
You know, it's interesting. When we started this process, it appeared as though the community was split about what to do, whether or not to keep the school, tear it down and rebuild, or go to another site. And we looked at 40 other sites, Kate, to think about what to do. When we came through the fifth meeting, it was interesting because it appeared as though there still might be the split, but ultimately it was a unanimous decision to raise the existing building and to rebuild on that site. And again, as I was saying, I think at that point, everyone had come to this realization that we are where we are. This is probably the best solution that we have. Even the people who didn't agree with that solution, I remember them saying at the time, we don't agree with it, but for the good of the community, we need to stick together. And so we will join, you know, it was about a third of the task force. We will join the other two-thirds of the task force so that we can make this unanimous decision so that we have a united front moving forward as a community. And it was one of the most moving experiences I've had in 30 years of doing this work. And the greatest signs of compassion that I've seen demonstrated in terms of people really listening to each other and trying to figure out what's the best thing for the community as opposed to what's my position on this issue.
Wow. Once that happens, you feel that, then everything moves forward. The demolition started, just a couple of months ago. Do you know much about the reaction now at this point? Because, hey, you make the decision, and then you go forward, and then you have to deal with the decision. Has it been pretty good?
You know, I think it's been pretty good, but as you know, that was the first public decision that people needed to make, and for me it was the first, and what people said to me in Newtown, it was the first step forward of the community really being clear that they want to be on a journey of healing. But right after that, you know, there was a debate that broke out about the distribution of funds to people who were affected by this. Then, you know, as you know, just a couple of weeks ago, the state's attorney report came out that really detailed exactly what happened blow by blow in the school that day. Then just last week, the 911 tape came out from the dispatcher calls. And at each turn, you know, this community has had to withstand these tremendous body blows. And again, what I've taken away from this experience and in knowing people there and talking to them and staying in touch and continuing to work with them is the kind of resilience that this community has exhibited, the kind of compassion, the sticking together, and really the, if I can say this, the affirmation of the human spirit that they've really demonstrated to the rest, to themselves first and foremost, and then to the rest of us in the rest of the country.
Yeah, what a great sentiment to say, the affirmation. Finally, you know, here we are, so we're close to the holidays, so that's going to open those wounds. And what do you do to try to help people close up those wounds? I guess I don't know that you can ever do that, but here we are because with the Christmas trees and the things and the toys and all that, especially with children, that has to open that up.
Yeah, you know, I think what the folks in Newtown, you know, sent us really clear signals about this, which is, you know, their wounds are still there. There is no schedule or timetable for a healing process. And I think what they've said to the rest of the country is, please give us some space. If you want to mark this anniversary, what we recommend is for you to demonstrate a small act of kindness to someone you know or maybe someone you don't know, and that's the best way to mark this one-year occasion. And let us, in the meantime, those of us who live in Newtown, let us continue on our journey to heal.
Yeah. All right, Richard Hardwood, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight, and certainly we'll keep all those people carrying around in our hearts. Just don't go down to Newtown. Give them some space, as Richard said. Richard, thanks.
Thank you. Union,
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, waterfilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-B-E-R-K-E-Y. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
That's the sound of a .44 Magnum and Traumamax, a high-tech hybrid Kevlar bulletproof vest from InfidelBodyArmor.com. We'll stop it and most pistol rounds. Traumamax is a major breakthrough in pistol-rated body armor, and prices start at just $170 per insert. More protection, more stopping power, more mobility, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. Get details at InfidelBodyArmor.com. That's I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com.
Typhoon Haiyan. Death tolls top 5,200 after the storm smashed the Philippines. This holiday, let's not forget those 13 million homeless without food or clean water. Before we sit down to our bountiful tables, consider making a food donation. Youngevity and Red Cross has made it possible to feed a family of four for $16.20. Go to GCNminerals.com, help feed the Philippines, or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got better days aside. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got better days aside.
All right, coming up on America Tonight, we have Dumb Things in just a second. But first, we're going to go to the phone lines. I don't know who we have on the line, but Nathan informed me there's somebody that was chomping at the bit, dying to get in to throw in their two cents. You know, we've been talking about a lot of different things on this show. It's always healthcare, right? We're always talking about healthcare because people are I say this, but what's happening is people who weren't so concerned about it are starting to get their premiums, you know, starting to get their notices about their premiums going up, and this is what it is, and they're just shocked. They're stunned because they didn't expect that. They thought their health care was going to stay the same. And so the reaction, it's like a chain reaction. You know, we're talking about these snowstorms and the chain reactions with car accidents. So it is like a car accident, and it's going from city to town to all these suburbs because finally people are starting to see it. They're starting to rip open the envelopes, and they're starting to see how they're being affected by it. All right, let's go to Dan, who's listening to us in good old Cross Plains, Texas. Hello, Dan. He He dropped his cookies. What's going on?
No, I didn't. I'm right here. I am making cookies, though.
I knew it. See? I just knew it. That's why I said that.
You know, I made 6 dozen last time, and in 2 days' time, there wasn't a cookie in the house to be found. I gave them away to the people at the store where I shop and to my mailman, and my nephew and myself pigged out on them, and I'm telling you what, I am a good cookie maker.
Woo, I love that.
I got a quick little joke for you.
Yeah, let's hear it.
These two young sister uglies had been invited to the cotillion. So their mother told them, they said, I got your new formulas, I got your corsages, we're going to get you down there. And when a young gentleman approaches you to dance, simply say, spruce, and you'll have the most beautiful, inviting smile. So they got down there and they started sampling the alcoholic punch. And about 3 glasses into it, a couple of young boys walked up to them. One of them said, what are we supposed to say? She said, I know. And she whispered in her ear. So the two gentlemen approached the girls and they said, hemlock!
I never know what your punchline's going to be, but I know it's going to just wow me somehow.
Oh, well, I love you too, baby.
That was good. That's funny. Oh, that's good. That's a good one. That's a surprise ending.
I don't have anything else for you, but I wish
that's
I had
good.
Some way. I wish I had some way to get you some cookies because they're sure good.
Oh, cookies. You know what? Go to sportsprincessspeaks.com, and the address is on there of the studio in Texas, and we'll pick them up.
I don't have a computer.
Oh.
I don't.
We'll get the address to you.
Okay, you got my...
We want the cookies. We'll get the address to you.
You got my address, you know, from the times that you sent me stuff.
Ah, that's right.
Right. Kick me out a little letter, give me the mailing address, and I will box up some of them and flip them to you and Nathan to fight over.
Awesome. That sounds good. Thanks, Dan.
I know he's in Minnesota and you're there, but I'll get them to you.
Oh, cool. I'll get them some, I promise. That's awesome. Thanks, Dan. Yeah, the thing about the Christmas cookie thing is it does become addicting, like he's saying how he and his nephew pigged out on them. I think that's what happens, especially when you make them. Because then you don't, it doesn't matter. You just exercise, you feel good, whatever. You're eating better. You just start making them, and the smell, it just kills you. All right, I said we were going to do dumb things, so let's roll on to dumb things.
Hi, Dad!
All right, this one is from Jake in Austin. He says, Kate, I've been saving up. I meant to send this to you when you first started doing dumb things. I have laughed my head off at that segment. What I love is I'm never really sure when it's going to pop up because you don't have a set time for it. Perhaps in the next year you can make a set time so we know when to tune in. Well, that's the idea. We like the surprise of it. So Jake says, this might be one of the dumbest things that I've ever done. I went to a UT football game, that wasn't dumb, with my friends. We had great tickets. We had a few drinks. But afterwards, we were supposed to have a birthday celebration for my girlfriend. And I actually thought ahead, had gotten a cake, the whole thing. But it was very warm that day. I left the cake in the car, and the cake melted. You couldn't read it. You couldn't eat it. It was toast. And then I was toast because here I had this cake that I thought was okay, and I didn't check it beforehand, pulled it out of the bag, and that's when we all saw that it was a wreck. All right, better luck next time. Never leave a cake in the car in Texas. No, you know, if it's warm weather, I mean, of course, it probably wasn't 100 degrees, but you can't do that. I mean, really, a lot of places you can't do that. Food in the car can be a really bad combination. It seems like everybody had the food thing on their mind because I got another one here from Alice who says, long-time listener, I have never called. I have never sent you an email. Dumb things. Oh, where do I begin? Maybe some of your listeners can relate to this. Here's what I did, Kate. I was so tired. I've been working on a project at work, and I had thrown my clothes out on the side of the bed to get up in the morning and just throw them on. I was literally going to jump in the shower, jump in my clothes, and get out, where I would only have a couple of hours sleep So I did prepare for that. The thing I didn't prepare for was when I put on my shirt, I put it on backwards. I had no clue. It had the lines down the side. I still didn't realize it. And the tag, of course, was hanging out in the back, but now it's very visible to everybody. So you can only imagine when I went into my meeting. It was kind of an informal meeting, but it still was a place where you wouldn't want to have a backwards shirt on. And my shirt was clearly on wrong, only I was the only one who didn't know until somebody tapped me halfway through the meeting. Oh, it was embarrassing. So I went to the restroom, excused myself, and turned it right side out. And then somebody mentioned it in the meeting, and the meeting stopped, and everyone looked and laughed. So I kind of turned it into a funny moment. But I can't believe I did that. I didn't even check myself, look in the mirror, anything. I didn't see it. You know what? I've done that before with, I bet a bunch of you have done that. Sometimes with clothes, it's not as obvious. It sounds like hers was kind of obvious, but sometimes with workout gear, it's not as obvious. If it's, sometimes it looks like it's on right and then it's not. And there are some shirts, the way they're made, you can't tell. But I've seen other people do that or come to work with one sock, one color, one sock, the other color. And it's, yeah, that's pretty bad, right? All right, I was talking about the whole food thing, and here's another one of these food deals. This one comes to us from Joe, who's listening to us in Texas. He says, Katie Kate, long-time listener, first-time emailer. Get it? I get it. And he says, let me tell you, the biggest mistake I think that I've ever made, I was at a business deal, and it was, you know, it was fine because we had really closed the deal. So you know how that goes, where everybody's happy and drinks are flowing, and we were at a Thai restaurant, and I hate to say, but I don't know Thai food, but I kind of sloughed it off like I knew what I was talking about, and I ordered the curry because I just asked the waiter, what's the best thing on the menu, and he said, it's curry, so I got curry, and he gave me the hottest curry they had. I didn't realize that there was different kinds of curry, and I took a giant spoonful of my curry. It was chicken. I'd gotten chicken, and I'm telling you, it was like the place lit up. My face turned fire engine red. I was choking to death. It was pretty embarrassing. And they had to keep giving me water, and I could never really clear my throat. Big mistake to pretend you know the menu and the cuisine when you have no idea. Yeah, that can be bad. You know, that's like when you get the wasabi. Someone says, hey, you want to go have sushi? Sure, why not? I love to eat raw fish, and you've never really had it. Then they give you the green stuff, and you inhale a giant dollop of it, and you realize, whoa, I have no idea what I'm doing. This is way, way too hot, and it's not what you're supposed to do with that. Be careful with your food. You got a dumb thing? Send it to me, americatonight.net.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system, and a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.